Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
It is so good to see all of you. I want to, like they said earlier, I just want to welcome everybody on campus today. I know we have people in the student center this morning as well. And I want to welcome everybody on live stream. We're glad to see you at home today. I guess I can't see you. You can see us. I also want to give a shout out to so many of the amazing faces that we have not seen in a long time that are back to the building today. Can we just give everybody a big round of applause? So good. We've missed you. I want to tell you, there's just nothing like the people of God coming and joining together in worship and praise to Jesus. Can I hear an amen on that? It's a powerful, powerful thing. And this season that we're in, it requires even a greater sacrifice of praise, right? And it's beautiful and it's powerful. What a wild year we are having. That's kind of the understatement of the year, right? I saw somebody posted this the other day. They said, has anybody written coronavirus on a piece of paper and thrown it in a bonfire at youth camp yet? I'm ready to try anything, they said. I thought that was so funny. Like, whatever it takes, right? So go write that down at home and burn the piece of paper. Let's see what happens. I'm just kidding. That'd be like superstitious or something. But I think that's how we all feel. And yet in the midst of this moment, God is so good. He's so good. And he's so close. And he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And I just am so reminded that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he's alive in us still. And he's present on the earth, as present as he ever has been. And he's moving in power even in this moment. And the kingdom has not slowed down one bit. Can I hear a little bit bigger of an amen on that? The kingdom is not slowed down one bit. He knows everything about everything about everything. And he has a way for us to walk through it all. And our assignment really is just to tune our ear, to tune our heart to his, so that we can know how we're to walk through every moment in this season and, of course, every season of life as we follow the voice of the Spirit. This morning, I want to begin a series of talks on just the subject of prayer, and I'm excited about it. So we're gonna jump into that today, really kind of just an introduction. But our oldest daughter, Olivia, she just got her driver's license a couple of months ago. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. It's quite a moment for every 16-year-old to get their license, right? And it's also equally quite a moment for every parent who has a 16-year-old get their license. And it's amazing how my prayer life has just taken off. It's like amazing how like I've just soared to new places in prayer over the last couple of weeks. And it isn't because Olivia isn't a good driver. She's actually quite amazing. I think she's like so confident. She's cautious as she drives. She's becoming such a good driver, in fact, that in just a couple short months of driving, she's actually now instructing me on how to drive. Like regularly, like it's amazing how much she knows in just a couple of months of driving, right? She's like, "Oh, Dad, don't do this, Dad." In fact, we were just driving the other day, and I noticed I was going a little bit over the speed limit, and she's riding in the passenger seat with me, and she goes, "It's amazing how much sin is in the world just by breaking the law with speeding." And I look down, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, that was pretty slick how she threw that in there, you know? She kind of noticed I was driving fast. She's like, wow, there's a lot of sin in the world. Then she kind of like digresses into this little sermon to me about it. I'm like, who are you? Like, you are my child. It's amazing. But gosh, I don't know about you, but in my family, we love to celebrate and make a big deal out of milestones in different moments that we have as a family. So a couple of weeks ago, Olivia was taking her like first maiden drive, you know, voyage out in the car by herself into town. And so, you know, naturally as parents, we were like also excited, but we're also quite nervous, you know. Can I get an amen on that for many of you that have had kids, you know, drive off? And so We're excited, but I got to tell you, just as a dad, I was a little nervous because it's like this new place that you've never been. And so Christy's like, she's like out on our front porch. All the girls are out on our front porch and Olivia's like backing out of the garage and Christy's like filming this moment. You know, I don't know about you, but we like film everything at our house. And she's like filming Olivia driving off and she's kind of pulling out of the driveway. And I was about to leave as well because I had to go into the office. And so I'm pulling out of the garage and I'm all kind of swept up in this moment, just kind of trying to watch her and all that. And all of a sudden, as I'm pulling out, bam. And I'm like, what just happened? I'm feeling all the feels. Christy's capturing this, you know, on video. And all of a sudden, I realized that bam was me backing into Christy's car in the driveway. I am not even kidding. This is all on video. And I look up. In like just total shock and horror, you know, here I am worried about her. And I look up to my wife's beautiful face at this expression I literally have never seen before on her face because she's really kind. But it was this look of like, what in the world? And I'm just shaken by this moment. So I like jump out and I like, she goes like, didn't you hear your backup sensors beeping? I'm like, I don't know what just happened, but this happens. I jump out and you know, it's so funny. All the girls are like frozen on the front porch, you know, and it's so funny because it's on video. And so you actually see this like glorious moment and then you hear this huge bam and then the camera drops down. I mean, I'm just glad Christy didn't cuss or something, you know, with that moment. Not that she would, because she wouldn't do that. But so guys, I jump out of the truck to like inspect the damage. And guys, miraculously, there's not even a scratch. Can somebody say favor? I mean, not even a scratch on my truck or hers, anything, but it was a humbling moment. I know it's going to go down in the history books for our family. And so this whole like moment that we're in as a family, it's like, it reminded me like when I was 16 years old, I remember getting my license the day I turned 16. I was so pumped. And we lived in a little town called Hudson, Wisconsin, which is right on the border between Minnesota and Wisconsin. And my parents, on the day I turned 16, they let me drive into Minneapolis, St. Paul by myself. Like, how amazing is that? Like, and we didn't even have cell phones back then. Like, we didn't have those apps that can, like, track our children like we do now. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have these apps now that'll tell you how fast they're going. It'll tell you, like if they braked, you know, they hit the brakes too hard or accelerated so fast. You know, we have all these things now. And my parents, they just let me go on my own. It's amazing. I was thinking how much my parents just had to trust the Lord with my life. Like, it's really impacted me as I was thinking about that. Like, how much they just had to trust the Lord. And I like what I'm learning in this moment is that every new season that we're in requires a new depth of trust and dependence on the Father. Every single season does. Now, I trust Olivia. She's never given me reason not to. But what I'm learning is that I'm having to let go now. And I'm having to let the Lord, take her and trust the Lord in a way that I haven't had to until this moment in my life. And one of the most significant ways I believe that we actually grow our trust in the Lord is through prayer. I thought I was doing well with Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. You know that one? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I thought I kind of was nailing that one until I had a 16-year-old driver. And I thought I was doing pretty good. And it's not because of her. Again, I want to emphasize that. It's because I'm learning to trust my Father in territory that I've never been in. And I'm learning to practice this in a whole new part of my life. I'm learning to bring this new place that we're in as a family, this new territory where I do not have control, where I am not in the driver's seat. I'm not even in the car anymore. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not even there. Where I'm learning to bring it before the Lord in the place of prayer with thanksgiving. And I was thinking about this, you know, I had this moment, and I'm growing in it. I'm kind of getting through it pretty quickly. The Lord's helping me. But I remember the first drive or two she had, and I was like, all these thoughts, like, oh, what about a deer? What if a deer jumps out, you know? Because we live out in the country, there's tons of deer. Like, what if a deer jumps out? Or like, what about those crazy people on the road? Most of the time, you're not even concerned about you. You're concerned about the crazy people on the road, right? Like, what about this? What about that? And when the stray thoughts begin to come in, I'm learning in this moment to release them again in prayer and thanksgiving. With prayer and with thanksgiving. And sometimes we think just because we have a thought that we think it's ours to have and keep. Sometimes because a fear comes in or an anxiety comes in that it is actually ours to keep. But church, I want to remind you this morning that we get to choose what thoughts that we let in and allow to fill our mind. We actually get to choose. We get to choose whether that's going to come in. We get to choose to say, hey, no way to anxiety and worry. We get to choose in every single moment to release them in prayer with thanksgiving. And so I've been learning again, like I've learned so many different times in life through different seasons to do this, but we're here again. And I think for all of us, we hit these new places. And so where I've been doing is just all of a sudden when those thoughts come in, I just start saying, Jesus, I thank you for Olivia. Jesus, I thank you that your hand is on her. I did this the other day when she was driving, because she was driving at night with Emmy in the car. And I said, Jesus, I thank you that your hand is on Olivia. I thank you that angels surround her. These were my prayers. I thank you for the words that you have over my daughter's life. I thank you that you're for her and not against her. I thank you that there are literally legions of angels surrounding her. I thank you that you're her protector, that you're watching over her. And I got to tell you, as I began to pray that way with thanksgiving, anxious thoughts left my mind. I believe that that is a key for all of us in the moment that we are in. That I do not put my trust in the app that I have tracking her every move. You know what I mean? Like, I do not put some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in apps, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, right? You know, knowing that as I like take my prayer and I inform it in prayer and I bring it to the Lord with thanksgiving, knowing that the promise to that action is peace. The promise is that it's rightfully mine. It's just peace for my heart, peace for my mind. And then peace comes through the prayer that I bring that guard my heart. They literally guard my mind. So good. In life right now, I think it's obvious that there's so many things that are causing fear and anxiety. And this isn't even my message. This is just the intro. Sometimes though, I'm seeing it. I felt like I needed to share this, because that's why I'm doing this. I feel like sometimes I'm seeing it in believers actually quite a bit. By the way that we talk about what's going on, that I think that somehow the way we talk, that we actually believe that Jesus is anxious. That Jesus is anxious about things. That church, I just felt to just encourage you today with this, that Jesus is not anxious. That I want to encourage you to refuse the lie that somehow Jesus is anxious about this moment. He is not anxious. It is a sober time that we are in, but he is not anxious in this time. That the kingdom of heaven is here and the kingdom of heaven is coming, but it will not come through anxiety. It will not come through us trying to control things or through manipulation or through domination like the world dominates. It's going to come through the ways and means of Jesus expressed through the church. I know many have been anxious about many things, whether outwardly expressed or just inwardly felt. And I sense this great anxiety in many in the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, there's only one antidote for it, and it's prayer. It's prayer. It's quiet communion. It's that quiet place of fellowship with the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I have such a strong sense that so many of us in this moment are in new places. You know, maybe you're a college student here. First of all, we want to welcome all of our college students. I forgot to do that. Can we give them a hand? College students coming back to town. Maybe you're a college student and you're stepping into new places of trust. Maybe you're a parent that's releasing a college student and you're stepping into new places of trust. It doesn't matter what it is. Whenever we step into these new territories of life, they require a greater measure of trust in the Lord. And trust, it comes through relationship, and trust comes through time spent with someone, and trust comes through walking together and just being together over time. As I know you, I trust you, right? As you know me, you trust me, and we build relationship together and we build history together. And that's what happens through prayer. That's what happens through prayer. And Jesus showed us through his life what trust and relationship through prayer looked like with the Father. And I want to jump into some of that today. All through the Gospels, he shows us this. And this morning is, like I said, just a bit of an introduction, really. We're going to get into the heart of prayer over the next couple of weeks. I want to highlight a few of those places. And for the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase some of the passages that we're going to be in. You can go and read them later, but we're going to have a few of the verses up on the screen. But the first one we're going to jump into is in Mark chapter 1. And Jesus has just finished his first day of ministry. He's preached, he's silenced demons, he's delivered people of demonic oppression, he's healed many people of sickness and disease. We could say it was a really big first day. It's a big first day of ministry. You'd think that after a first day like this, probably the next morning he'd want to sleep in a little bit. But it says in verse 35, after this first day, the next morning, it says, "And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." I think it's worth pointing out that in this moment, Jesus had just come out of 40 days of prayer and fasting in the desert, in the wilderness, except for a brief run-in with the devil. He was alone the entire time in prayer. So he had almost a month and a half of time alone in prayer with the Father. And what does he do after one powerful day of ministry? What does he do before he starts day two of ministry? He gets up before the crack of dawn while it's still dark out, and he goes right back to the quiet place to pray. Right back to the quiet place to pray. I don't believe that this is just some random detail that's in Scripture. I believe this is a significant thing. I believe that Jesus, as he is starting out his ministry, he's showing us a pattern. He's showing us and establishing a pattern for us to see through his life. That from the beginning, he knew that apart from the Father, that disconnected from his Father, he could do nothing. He could do absolutely nothing apart from the place of prayer, apart from the place of abiding, that he could do nothing, but that out of the place of prayer, out of that place of intimacy and being alone with the Father, his purpose on earth would actually be fulfilled. So good. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we see this. It says, "In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12 whom he named apostles." Here we see Jesus climbing a mountain to pray. He's had an all-night prayer meeting with his Father. He's had an all-night prayer meeting with his Father. Can we all say all night long? Come on, let's say it together. All night long. Wasn't that like a Lionel Richie song or something? All night long. I don't know what that song was about, but I don't think it was about prayer. So let's come back to this. Get that out of your mind, whatever. I don't know. All night long in prayer, people. He was in prayer, okay? He's in prayer. And he doesn't sleep. Stop looking at me like that with your eyes. He doesn't sleep. He skips sleep to pray. I don't know why. This has just been resonating. He skips sleep to pray. And out of that prayer meeting, the next day, he chooses the 12 that are going to be his disciples, who are going to become his apostles. Out of that prayer meeting, he chooses the guys who are actually going to be responsible to continue the work that he starts in spreading the gospel to the entire world. Jesus spends an entire night in prayer before he makes one of the most important decisions of his life. He wanted and he needed to seek the will of the Father. And he's showing us, I believe, in this very simple moment, this very moment that we could pass over here, he's showing us here about the importance of prayer and time with the Father. It wasn't just a quick prayer here or there. We walk into those places. I mean, oftentimes I do quick prayers here or there. We're to pray without ceasing, ultimately. And we step into this. But this is an extended time of prayer. He's showing us to seek the face of God for the choices and the decisions that he was going to have to make. And out of that time spent in communion with his Father, in prayer, he would have the plan from the Father. Do you see this? He would have the wisdom. He would have what he needed. He would know what he needed to choose. He would know from his Father. I think about John chapter 17. We were in that a few weeks ago, where Jesus, he starts it out in this prayer to the Father, and he calls the disciples, "Those that you've given me. Those that you've given me." So we could understand that the Father was the one that gave the 12 to him. The Father was the one who said, "Here, I'm giving you these 12. And I just believe that even in that night of all night praying, that the Father said, "I'm revealing to you who the 12 are going to be." In that place of prayer, it was significant. See Matthew chapter 14, another moment of this. This all through the Gospels, we see this with Jesus. But I think this is a significant one too. Matthew 14, Jesus had just been told the tragic news that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded in prison by Herod. And in verse 13, it says this. It says, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. See, Jesus, as we know, was fully God, but Jesus was fully man. Sometimes we forget, I think, that he was fully man. He was acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with sorrow. And this was his cousin. I know it's easy to read the Bible and kind of detach emotionally from it and miss the heart of a story. But this was his cousin John, whose head had literally been severed from his body and served on a platter. It's too much to get into right now, the whole background of it, but there was corruption at the highest level of government with Herod. There was immorality, cover up, all this stuff. John calls Herod out on this, and he ends up with his head served on a platter because he called out the immorality. It was tragic. It was awful. How does Jesus respond to his cousin's murder in this moment? How does he handle this horrific injustice that's happened to him? How does he respond to the evil that's been done to his family? I think there's a lot of ways that Jesus could have responded in this moment. But what does he do? He withdraws in a boat to be alone. He withdraws in a boat to be alone. He needed to withdraw. He needed to be quiet. He needed to go to a quiet place. The passage doesn't give the specifics about what he did while he was alone, but it's obvious that as we see this pattern in his life, that he went to be alone and to remain connected to his Father's heart in the quiet place. Well, we know, we don't know what he was feeling. We don't know what he was thinking in that moment as he was alone. But we do know that Hebrews 4 says that he can sympathize with our weaknesses. That Jesus, did you know Jesus sympathizes with your weaknesses? He sympathizes with what you're going through because he's experienced it all. We know that he... we know that he was tempted in every way. That he just as we are, yet he did not sin as he was tempted. We don't know how he might have been tempted in that moment, but maybe there was a temptation that came to him to retaliate about what just had happened to his cousin. I was thinking about that, like my holy imagination starts running. We don't know, I'm just imagining. Maybe he was tempted to march into the city and confront Herod. Maybe he was tempted to get on his device and post on social media how awful the government is. A few of you thought that was funny. Some of you were offended. I'm sorry. We don't know what he felt, but what we do know is that he needed to be alone, that he chose to be alone in that moment. We know that he withdrew. He needed, he wanted, he chose to withdraw to a quiet place, away from the noise, and maybe away from the other voices. Maybe he had to withdraw because he needed to be away from what everyone else was saying about it. Maybe he withdrew because everybody was like, let's start a riot or do something. I don't know. Maybe he just had to go away from all that so that he could get his father's heart about the situation. Maybe he went to practice what he'd preached a few chapters before in the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe he just went alone because he had to actually pray for his enemies. Maybe he had to go away and say, oh God, I just bring Herod before you. Like, I don't know. I don't know what he did. He could have done any of that. But he had to be alone. I think there's a powerful principle, a powerful thing that he's showing us here in this moment. We know that after he'd been alone for a while by himself for a period of time, it says that the crowds found out where he was and they followed him. 5,000 of them gathered. And he didn't turn him away. The disciples wanted to turn him away because it says the day was almost over. The disciples wanted him to go, but Jesus says, hey, don't send him away. Let's give him something to eat. And he ends up ministering to them. And it says he had compassion on them in that moment. It says that in that moment, even of, I'm sure, the grief that he was experiencing, he had compassion and he healed their sick. He fed 5,000 of them, plus women and children, which is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And after they were fed, it says he sent them home with leftovers. I don't fully grasp the exact time frame on these events, how it all happened. But you'd think after doing all of this stuff that Jesus would want to call it a day and go crash. But it says right after this, in verse 23, it says that after he dismissed the crowds, hear me, don't, this is so simple, but I think it's so profound. After he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And as I've been meditating on these passages of Jesus going away to pray, I realize, guys, he's showing us the way. It's so simple, I wish I had something more profound for you today. But he's showing us the way. And the way through is not only to engage. We have to engage because we bring the kingdom in our engagement. But it is equally in the place of going away to connect our heart with the Father so that we can know that we're carrying the heart of our Father in the moment. He's showing us the way to fruitfulness of life. He's saying, hey guys, this is how I was able to do all that I did and not burn out. And this is the way that you're going to be able to walk through this time that you're in and bear much fruit. This is how you're going to be able to walk in this moment and still look like me. This is how you're going to bear fruit. This is how you're going to still stay fresh and whole in this moment. This is how you're going to stay free from all the heaviness and all the anxiousness in the world around you. This is what you're going to do in the midst of all the noise. You're going to go away to a quiet place. This is how you are going to know what to do when you don't know what to do. Right? How many have hit moments in the last weeks and months where you don't know what to do? This is what you're going to do when you don't know what to do. Comes through this place of time alone in prayer with the Father. And I want to suggest to you today that in the midst of tragedy striking even his family, that Jesus could still walk with great compassion. He could still heal the sick, and he could still feed the 5,000 because he'd been fed. Not by bread, but he'd been fed by every word that was proceeding from the mouth of his Father, that he has everything that he needs to meet the needs of the day because he's connected to the source. He's connected to his Father in the place of intimacy and quiet. Luke chapter 5 says this, says that he would often withdraw to desolate places and pray. The Message says it like this, says, as often as possible, I love that, as often as possible, he'd withdraw to out of the way places. As often as possible, he'd withdraw to out of the way places. He frequently got away. It's like he would intentionally sneak off and be alone with the Father. I love that. When the crowds would get bigger and the fame would get greater, he'd go away. He'd do the opposite of what the world does, right? When the crowds get bigger and the fame, that we like embrace that. But what would Jesus do? He'd go away. As the miracles were flowing and the demands became greater, he would withdraw all the more to quiet places to pray. And we see this all through the gospel. See, I think so often when our lives, when things get busier and things get crazier, what's the first thing to go? I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to be alone. That doesn't seem urgent enough, right? Like, I got things to do. I got places to go. People need me, right? Trust me. I've made those excuses before. Have you made those? But here's the thing. So I was thinking, it's so simple, but as I've been reading all of this, if Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the entire world, who travels with 12 guys constantly, has constant crowds around him, just trying to touch him and take from him, if he believes that being alone in prayer with the Father is more important than even sleep, and he finds a way to withdraw often, if he can find a way, guess what? There's a way. I think we should give the Lord for a shout of praise for that. Seriously. There's a way. There's a way. And sometimes we just have to, and I'm preaching to myself here. Sometimes we have to break off the lies that say otherwise. We just have to say, no, 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 no. No, that is not true. That is not true. If Jesus needed prayer and quiet as often as he possibly could. Church, I want to suggest to us today, we need it too. We need it too. It's such a noisy time. Charity can come if she always hides behind the curtain in intercession for me, of course, while I preach. There she is. See, she's in the posture of prayer. It's such a noisy time. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but I think it's going to continue to be a noisy time. I think it's going to be noisy for a while around us. But here's the thing. It doesn't have to be noisy in us. It doesn't have to be noisy in us. Why did Jesus have to continually go to prayer in quiet places so he could continue to see what his Father was doing? Why did Jesus have to continually, over and over and over and over again, break away, go away to quiet places so he could continue to hear what his Father was saying? So he could continue to rightly represent his Father on the earth? I believe that he continued to go away even in time so that he could remind himself that I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. Church, when we get so wrapped up in the noise, we think that our first citizenship is here. Church, our first citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. And our assignment is to bring what is there here, right? That's what we do. But we can't do that if we're caught up in all the noise that's around us. If we start engaging like the world engages, we will lose our voice. We'll lose our voice. We talk about this a lot, but guess what? As the Father sends Jesus, he now sends us. What a moment for the church to represent him rightly on the earth. But if we're filled with noise and we're filled with news, I want to just shoot straight with you right now. If we're filled with the noise and we're filled with the news and we're filled with the angst of the world, we will not represent him rightly. It will not happen. We've got to go straight to the quiet place. We got to go regularly to the secret place, to the place where we can hear. And what I am hearing for us, I believe as your pastor, and I'm hearing this for my life, is that it is a time to reorder some things. It is a time to reorder some things. I believe that this moment right now for us, church, is a time to reprioritize some things. Maybe we have to go to bed earlier so we can get up earlier. Maybe we have to go to bed earlier so we can get up earlier. Okay. Y'all are going to bed at like 7 o'clock. You're like, no, I don't. I don't know. I don't even want to suggest things because that gets into like weight and bondage. But maybe it's just less time on social media. Maybe it's just less time with like just slowing the schedule down, you know, so that we can withdraw to an out of the way place with the Lord. Maybe we have to say no to some things and the Holy Spirit will show us so we can say a better yes to some things. But I believe that this is a moment for us of positioning ourselves the way that Jesus did, and he's showing us the way right here. It's easy to pass through all of this, but I believe that he's showing us a secret. He's showing us a place that through his way, because he is the way, he's showing us the way to bear fruit and have life in the midst of the moment that we're in. What impacts me most about what we've seen in Jesus this morning is that he isn't just preaching and he isn't just teaching about prayer. He does that in other places in the gospel, and we'll get into that. But that Jesus is actually praying. He's not saying, hey, in these moments, he's not saying, hey, come do what I do. He's actually saying, hey, I'm trying to sneak away to go do this alone with my Father. He's not teaching or preaching. He's just saying, this is what I did. And I believe that he's saying, this is what you need to do too. I actually believe that as we read this, he's saying, if it was important for me, it's important for you. That if it was the way for me, the Son of God, one of the members of the Trinity, if it was important for me, if it was the way for me, then it is going to be the way for you. Follow me. I think we talk about the importance of prayer so much, but I wonder how much time alone in prayer is actually happening. And that's not an accusation. Let that bring life to you. I felt the challenge of the Holy Spirit in my own life. I'm hearing this call to come away with the Lord. For us, that doesn't mean get out of society. It means that our time away with him will actually allow us to be impactful in society. That our time with him in the secret place will actually allow us to bring the kingdom in a manifested way. Guys, I felt to tell you this today. It's so basic, but that God loves you. If you haven't heard it in a while, God loves you. And God likes you. He likes you. God likes you. He actually likes to be with you. I think a lot of people don't spend time in prayer because they don't think that God likes them. I think a lot of people don't spend time in prayer because they think that he's mad at them. Or that he's disappointed in them. I don't know about you, but I don't like going and hanging out with people that don't like me. I don't like going and hanging out with people that I think don't like me. I pray for them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go hang out with somebody regularly that I think is like constantly disappointed in me. I believe that many people in the church see prayer this way, that why would I want to go do that? I'm just going to feel shame and disappointment, and I'm going to remember all the terrible things I've done. Church, that is a lie and a tactic of the enemy to keep us out of the quiet place, to keep us away from him. Instead of running from him, he says, come on, run to me. I want to be with you. I want to show you who you are so we can show the world who I am. We're going to go after this church. And I know this is so simple today, but I want to challenge every single person in our Hope family of every age. Hear me on this, and I'm going to close in just a minute. That starting tomorrow, starting Monday, I want to encourage you. I want to actually call us. I want to ask you to join me and Christy and our family for 30 days to set aside at least 30 minutes a day to be in prayer with the Lord. That we would set aside at least 30 days, 30 minutes, that we would build some relationship and we would begin to build and grow our prayer life with the Lord. Maybe you already pray for hours at a time. The statistics would say that most of the church does not have a set aside prayer time. We need prayer meetings at church. We're going to start some. It's going to be awesome. But what I hear is the Lord saying, it's got to happen out there. It's got to happen at home. And when it happens at home, in the secret place is happening at home. When we come together, the fire, it's going to be like gas on fire. It's going to be like flames coming up. So for the next 30 days, starting tomorrow, I want to encourage you in this to pick a quiet place in your home. Maybe a corner, maybe a closet, maybe a chair. Some of you might have to hide in the bathroom from your kids and lock the door. Some of you might have to sneak out to the garage. Maybe it's outside in a quiet, non-distracting place outside. But get by yourself alone to be in prayer with the Lord. Take a passage of scripture and take a journal and just begin to just bring yourself before the Lord and listen and pray. Listen and pray. You're going to be shocked at how much He wants to talk to you. Listen and pray and refuse every thought that would say that He doesn't like you or doesn't want to be with you or isn't going to speak to you. Because the truth is, He says, my sheep hear my voice. And as you set aside that time, you are going to want to have more time. And you're going to step into a new place with Him. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm late already. We're going to dig into this more next week. How many would say, I'd be up for 30 minutes a day for 30 days? Guys, I'm telling you, it's a moment of positioning. And I want to pray for you. I had other stuff I wanted to share, but would you lift your hands all over this room this morning? And would you, if you pray in the Spirit, would you just begin to pray in the Spirit? We're going to take like 3 minutes and we're going to lift up our voices right now together. Just, if you don't pray in tongues, would you just say, Jesus, we welcome you. Jesus, I welcome you. Come on, church, let's do it out loud. Just lift your voices. Come on, just lift your voices. And here's what we're asking. Holy Spirit, we're asking for Holy Spirit inspiration on us to pray. Holy Spirit inspiration on the church to be with you. I pray that lies and discouragement would be far from the church, but that there would be a spirit of prayer and intimacy that would rise up in the church. In the name of Jesus, I pray over you today that heaviness would be broken off of you and that you would enter into times of refreshing with the Lord, that you would turn and you would return your heart to the Lord and you would set yourself before Him and you would say, blow on the embers of my heart, blow on the embers of my heart, burn in my heart. Burn in my heart. I pray for a spirit of prayer to break out in homes, in intimacy with the Lord like never before. We ask this in Jesus' name. Sweet fellowship, sweet communion, sweet times of abiding with you, Jesus. I thank you for what you're going to do. And I thank you for the wisdom and the specific instructions of how we're going to reframe and reorder our lives in order to walk this out and to carry this out because we want you, Jesus. And I pray it. And everybody said, amen. Can we give the Lord a big shout of praise today? Come on. Can we give Him a big shout of praise?